Thank you very much and welcome back. Right, farmers are typically a very optimistic bunch. They have to be. But unfortunately, many things that control their success or failure are beyond their control. For example, the health of the U.S. and foreign economies has a direct impact on what farmers can do year in and year out. Chris Voigt, executive director of the Washington State Potato Commission, says with so many questions about the American economy, consumers are pulling back and not eating out as often. That has made restaurants nervous, which makes potato processors nervous, saying they don't want a contract for a bunch of potatoes that may not be needed.
So everybody's being very conservative right now, and we're actually seeing a reduction in our acres yet. We don't know exactly how big of a reduction. It could be 10%. It could be 15%. And that's concerning because, you know, for a long time, Washington is always, we've always maxed out our potato acres. You know, we could really never grow more than about 165,000 acres every year unless we were able to get some more water out of the Columbia River or expand the Columbia Basin Project. But this is really kind of the first time in our history in a long time that we're actually having to make some really big cuts. I never thought we'd see that day. And here we are.
Voigt added that pullback is being reported in other economies around the world as well. In case the drop in demand isn't challenging enough, now farmers need to determine what to do with land that's not growing potatoes. Voigt says because of the struggles of the overall economy, there are few options.
Is there something I can grow out there that's low inputs that I can at least break even on? Or is there a crop that I can raise that, you know, maybe I'll lose a little bit of money, but it'll help my potato crop next year? You know, it may be, you know, return some nutrients to the soil, or maybe it'll provide, you know, to reduce disease or soil or weed pressure for the following years.
Voigt says he is hopeful the U.S. economy and the farm economy can turn around fairly soon and provide growers with options. USDA's June Cattle on Feed report revealed some notable trends culminating in tighter supplies of cattle, but more livestock staying in feedlots. Why?
Summer is officially here, which means the summer grilling season is well underway. Also continuing, though, contraction of U.S. cattle supplies for beef. USDA livestock analyst Michael McConnell reveals from the Agriculture Department's June Cattle on Feed report.
Inventories are going down, but the market hasn't seen as much cattle marketed, so that's kind of kept the inventory levels from falling even further.
So looking at the numbers for the month of May, starting with cattle and calves in feedlots for slaughter markets.
On June 1st, there was 11.44 million head of cattle in those feedlots, which is 1% lower than a year ago. That was the result of placements during the month of May, totaling 1.89 million head, which was 8% lower than a year ago.
Yet for marketings of fed cattle,
marketings came in at 1.76 million head, which was 10% lower than a year ago. Although if you account for one fewer slaughter day, it was about 6% lower in this past May versus last May.
McConnell explains why cattle and feedlot marketings saw a greater month-over-month increase compared to placements and inventory.
Inventories are down slightly from where they were a year ago, but overall not as sharply down as what would be reflected by the placements. However, because marketings have been relatively light for the past couple weeks, that's kept the number of cattle available to be marketed to be relatively high. The number of cattle that we have in feedlots for more than 150 days is pretty much the highest that we've seen since we've started keeping track of those tallies. So overall, what we're seeing is relatively tight supplies, but low marketings for the past couple of weeks results in the fact that we have cattle there in the feedlots ready to be marketed. It's just a matter of markets doing their thing and have prices that both packers and feedlots can agree to see the cattle move.
The tighter inventories in cattle feedlots are just one component behind supportive prices for beef.
Whether it be for feeder cattle, for fed cattle, or for beef at the wholesale or retail level. So overall, the tight supplies are resulting in supportive pricing all throughout the value chain.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thank you, Rod Bain. This is Inside Agriculture. We'll be right back.